away from hard enduro, and we're getting into some standard enduro, in particular the Australian four day that's just been held over in Western Australia. And I'm with Alex Sword and Monique Simone. How are you going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Good, Greg, yourself?
Good, thanks. Monique, you first came to my attention, and I'll admit, I don't really don't follow the standard enduro stuff, only because I'm so busy with what I do. But you first came to my attention when Alex made a post on social media about you and how he's helping out. Delve into that just a little bit. Like, how did you get into enduro? When did you start riding? And I guess right up through to where we are now. I've gone through your social media account, and you're just this young lady who's always got a smile on her face. But then I click on the photos of you racing, and you look like a demon possessed. You're so focused on the bike. You look pretty formidable. So how did you get into racing?
Well, Dad's ridden practically his whole life. I started riding when I was 2. Then 1 year decided to go up to Sydney, grab a CRF 150R, and that's when I was 11. And that's when we started racing in 2015. My first Vic off-road was down at Pakenham, and that was an absolute mudder. And at that stage, I was the only junior girl in the Vic off-road, so I was just had to be chucked in with the boys in J1s. And at that point, I was just trying to get around the tracks and just try and finish and always come back with a smile on my face. Like, you know, once I saw that checkered flag, it was the happiest day of my life. And then just progressed as the years went on. A few more girls came through. So then we started up with junior girls class in 2016, halfway through the year. And then, you know, came out one of my best friends, Lauren, who's my main competition. You know, I've been battling with her for a fair few years now. And then in 2016 as well, Dad and I went out to the Mansfield 4 day. And that's when I was looking at that, the Kiwi Club, which is the club that I'm in. They were running one of the special tests and we were out there marshalling it, and I was looking at it going, Jesus, I'd, you know, love to do one of these events one day. And who would think that I would start up where all those other guys have started, like, you know, with Taylor Jones. Sadly, obviously can't really, you know, race with her at the moment because she's over in America, but seeing her at the start with, you know, Jess Gardner and all that, was like, to be up there one day would be wicked. And sure enough, that day has come, and yeah.
It's a pretty amazing journey, isn't it? So you started riding it too, did you say?
Yeah.
And yep. What, were you on a little PW50 then or something, were you?
On a little Kawasaki four-wheeler.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Backyard. And then I spent about a year on that and jumped on to my brother's old Sarah 50. So.
Right. Your brother's ride too?
He used to, but he's given it up now once I started beating him. So.
Got a bit scared, eh? Beating boy, your sister.
Yeah, especially a younger one doesn't like it that much.
So what's your progression? You've gone from that, and you've take me through your bike progressions. You've gone from a little 50. Did you step up to what, an 80, then or a 125 or?
Yes, I went from the 50 to a Sarah 80. Except I didn't really like that much because it bit of a clutch action. So then we jumped back down to the Sarah 70, and then went back onto the 80. Then I think I went onto a Sarah 100. And then, yeah, got the 150R, and it was a few years on the 150R, and then jumped onto the YZ 125s, had them for a few years, and then jumped back onto a Honda and yep. Was on a 250R. And then last year I was on a Gas 350, and then this year I'm on the Husky 350.
How do you like the Husky?
Love it. Didn't have it the other way.
They're a great motor, aren't they? They pretty much do everything, the 350s.
Oh, that's it. They have, you know, enough power to pull you out of the corners but not rip your arms off at the same time. So.
You mentioned Taylor Jones and Jess Gardner. Are they two girls that you look up to?
Oh, 100%. You know, they're both kicking goals. And Emily Carlson, like, they're such great people. Had many a blast with those girls over in WA, especially Em. She's an absolute character and a half. So, yeah, it's good.
In your experience in WA, like I said, I sort of came across you. I saw Alex post something on his timeline about you. How did that come about, Alex? What's the go there, mate?
So with Dan, I'm because Cooey doesn't run a lot of their own club day events. Mon's been around DMCC for 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
Probably. So, yeah, I get to deal with her and her parents, Rob and Kyle, and that. And, yeah, last year at our 4 day that we had at Erica, sort of, yeah, well, didn't spend a lot of time at Park for me, but we sort of got to actually sit down with Rob for a little bit and have a chat. And
yep.
Mon, unfortunately, out of the final special test, there was about a 300-metre ride between the last special test and the final work period. And Monty decided it was a good idea to take a drink out of the Camelback at that stage and clipped a log on the ground and smashed a bike into a tree. Now, unfortunately, she couldn't get her bike started, and I watched her push her bike up a hill close to probably 250 metres. And it was a decent-sized hill, and she was pretty gassed when she got there, and I thought, you know, a lot of people would have just given up and walked away from the bike. And I was sort of, after the dust had settled a bit with the 4 day, I thought I'd really like to help her out for next year. So, yeah, we spoke to a few of the boys that's outside of the motorcycle industry and that. We chased a few sponsors and managed to get 2 or 3 really good sponsors for Mon, one being Iveco in Dandenong. Darren Cairn helped us out there, and Guy Latham and Jen from LP Cranes down in Langwarrin, and Frank Gogol and Zoe from Hargo Industries. So they've all jumped on board this year and helped out Mon and to, yeah, make it a bit
more. He's a bit of a financial strain of getting the WA in back.
Oh, 100%, that's for sure.
What's your goals in the future, Mon? Where do you plan to go with this? Do you plan to race professionally or?
Yeah, maybe one day. At the moment, just focusing on the racing and just finish my plumbing apprenticeship. That's the main goal at the moment. So I always have that to fall back onto.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, no, definitely would love to race overseas one day. Love to do a 6 day. And even a couple of the European, the worlds over there, and a JNCC in America, that would be sick to do one of them, that's for sure.
That'd be pretty amazing to get over there and race a JNCC. Have you looked at are you following the JNCC that's going to occur in Australia at all?
Yeah, I have been. I'm looking forward to them. It'll be good to get over here because I love cross country, so I prefer them any day over sprints. So when it does come to a Saturday of a Vic off-road, that's generally across country, and that's the ones that I love because that is really our sport. It's endurance racing where you're trying to save yourself for those 2 hours but also push yourself to the limits at the same time. So, yeah.
It's really about managing yourself and also the bike, isn't it, when you're running endurance? You've got to look after both.
Yeah, that's it. You've got to go, I want to be pushing this same pace in 2 hours' time, but sometimes you do get a bit ahead of yourself and get caught up and go, nah, I can run this pace the whole race, but then you sort of can't. It's happened to me a few times. And the next day you do sadly suffer for it and come away throwing up after a few races because I've physically exhausted myself. So, yeah, it's hard to find that balance, but once you do, it's great.
When you say you physically exhausted yourself, what do you find that's the first thing that goes? Is it the mind or the body or arm pump or what's happening there?
More my mind. So, and I know it's when I'm on the bike, I feel fine, but it's when as soon as I jump off, that's when I practically hit a wall. And I try to drink water, try to get all my hydration that back up, but it still doesn't work. It just sort of comes back out, as gross as that sounds. And my body just won't take anything in. So, yeah, and my mind just goes all over the place. So,
okay. Do you have a mentor that helps you out who's someone who's been racing for years and had some good success? Do you have anyone in that sort of space that helps you mentally with that?
Not really. I've spoken to Emma Milicevic a few times about it. And, yeah, she's given me a few hints here and there, so which has helped out, yeah.
Almost sounds like you're at the stage, and also your results show you might be at the stage where you might need to have a chat with a sports psychologist to get you in the right mental space for it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, which I reckon, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to look into that so to help me get there.
What sort of training do? Do you just do on the bike or do you hit the gym as well? Or?
Mainly just on the bike. I do try to go to the gym. It doesn't really work out. But, no, look, I do big work days, and that's, I've never been so fit from working as well. Like, you know, when I was at school, I did have to do that stuff because I was just sitting in the classroom all day, but I'm, you know, working 12 hours days, digging holes, running around up and down ladders, which has helped me out a lot. So, but when I try and do get the chance, I've tried to go to the gym, but yeah.
How often do you ride?
Every weekend.
Yeah, okay. I'm just looking at your results here, and you've got started racing the Vicoff Rose when you're 11, J1, and because there's no junior girls in the class. So your first header was in 2016, first junior girls state title, 2019, first women's state title was in 2021. And just going through 2021, you came third in women's four laps class at Hatter.
Yep.
2022, same deal. Oh, sorry, you're 22. Yep, same deal. And you raced in the full day and didn't finish in 2022.
Yep.
And you've got the first ever woman in Victoria to get a trophy, get into the trophy team where you became second. Can you explain what you mean by the trophy team for those that don't follow the sport?
Yeah, so each state tries to put in three teams. So you have a women's team, a junior trophy team, and a senior trophy team, which the senior is the main sort of big one. That's, yeah.
Right.
And last year I was lucky enough to be chucked in the senior one, and I was the first woman, yeah, in Victoria to ever be put in the trophy team and not just, well, yeah. So I was still in the women's class for overall, right, but in the senior trophy team, like with Andy Wills, Tom Mason, Simon Cox, Jacob Deegan, and yeah.
Yep, there was some royalty, aren't you?
Yeah, bloody oath.
That's unreal. And 2022 won the Vic Off-Road state title, the women's class. That's a pretty big claim to fame, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And like I said before, I was alongside my best mate doing it, which she sadly had a few injuries to start off with in the year. But, you know, to do that alongside her, it's awesome to come back. And our dads sometimes tell us off because we give each other tips on what lines to take. And they're like, you shouldn't do that. But we wouldn't really want to have it any other way. So.
That's good, isn't it? Good camaraderie in the sport.
Oh, that's it.
And obviously the 4 day you've just completed over in WA, you came fourth in expert women. That's, and first in the junior trophy. How does that work? If you came fourth in the expert women and first in the junior trophy team?
So, cause I was in the women's class, I came fourth in that. And so then I was in the junior trophy team this year cause I was the only Victorian woman going over there. So we sadly didn't have a women's team. So I was in the junior trophy team with Riley McGilvary, Will Price and Sam Shearer.
Yep.
And two of those boys were in E3 and then one of them was in E1 and I was in the women's class. So it goes on where you position in your class, not your overall. Well, sorry, okay, not outright. And so, yeah, we're lucky enough to get on that top step and, yeah.
Awesome. Great result. So we spoke about your bucket list. So you're looking at doing a 6 day, I think.
Yeah, I'd love to do think. I love the high speed stuff, but that one I've got to have a little bit of time off work to pre-run that one backwards and forwards. So, but no, nah, definitely on the bucket list. That's for sure.
What year would you be thinking for that? You're in an apprenticeship now, I would assume.
Yeah, I'm third year plumber. So.
Right.
If once I finish my time, I'd love to go give Fink a crack and, yeah.
What drives you to race? What do you like about it?
Just the adrenaline rush that you do get. I don't know, the friendships and everything that I've gotten out of racing, the people that I've met, far out, I've met some people. Like the 4 day this year was an absolute classic. Like there wasn't that many Victorians over there, but I still didn't know many of them. Well, knew a lot of them, but not all of them, sorry. And we came out of that so close and such a tight family. Yeah, that's one thing I love about this sport is you are one big family, and that didn't really come to the realisation of me until the other week when we were over there. So just that, and just love the thrill of the bike and just hitting stuff and hoping for the best.
It sounds like you're off the bike and everybody's happy to help out and everybody's your friend, and yeah, it's an awesome environment to be in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, once that helmet goes on, it's game on no matter what. But as soon as it comes off, yeah, you're more than welcome to, you know, help out anybody that needs a hand. So
if you stick at it and you keep having some fantastic results, would you like to turn pro?
Yeah, I reckon I would love to do that. So
if you could turn pro, do you think you'd stay in Australia or head off overseas at some stage?
I'd try and go overseas and try and make a profession out of it, which would, yeah, definitely, that would mean a lot to me if I could do that. So I just got to chuck my head down and keep on pushing to get there.
Do you have any contacts overseas that could help you out?
Not yet, but hopefully we can make some. Well, we've got Dougs over in Italy, actually, now I think of that,
yep.
Daniel Milner. So... yeah, he's in the Kiwi Club, and then also I've got Dad's family over in Italy, so I've always got somewhere to stay over there.
That helps a little bit, doesn't it? Keeps the cost down.
Yes, that's it.
What would it take to get you to go overseas? I guess if you've got the ability and the mindset to do so, I guess you'd be chasing some sponsors down. We need to help finance it all.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely not a cheap sport.
No.
Yeah, just financially would be probably the biggest one. Mum and Dad helped me out a lot, and, you know, I want to sort of give back to them, take the weight off their shoulders just that little bit, and, yeah.
Well, once you become qualified plumber, you should be running a little bit tidier, I reckon.
Yeah, hopefully.
And, Sorty, what have you been up to, mate? How was your experience over in WA?
It was pretty good, mate. We organised a couple of boys to drive across with 16 Victorian motorbikes in the back of one of Mick Turnbull's furniture trucks. We did the full Hollywood and just flew in on the Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a decent sized house down in Collie, which is probably about 40 minutes south of Harvey. We sort of bummed around, set up Park for Mayor and that, and while the boys were out walking tests, they were the sober drivers for the day, so they dropped us off at a few pubs and we sampled a few around the place and reinvested some money into WA.
Sounds like a tough life, mate.
It wasn't too. I was all right. I was actually happy once they started going racing because I could dry out a bit for 4 days. So
yeah, you can only drink so much beer.
we give it a fair nudge there for a while, but we'll sort of tried to try and make a little bit of a holiday of it. But it was a really awesome experience, like, to going from our 4 day and, you know, pretty much committed 18 months to 2 years of our life to, as you know, to get it all happening and get through all the red tape. And yeah, the whole 4 days for us with Dandenong and that was just a blur. Like, yeah, you just 5 o'clock out of bed and pre-riding tracks and stuff. And then, you know, jury meetings and that weren't finishing until 10:30 at night, so, and then it's sort of groundhog day the next day, get up and do it again, and then to see it from, you know, watching these guys go about their business with the road and the final work periods and seeing how all the controls worked and fuels and stuff. It was a busy 4 days, mate, but it was a really, really good 4 days, so...
You kind of end up running on adrenaline, don't you? Like, even, like you said, you're up at sort of 5 a.m. and in the bed like 10:30, and you don't, well, I don't really, you don't get to sleep properly.
No, it was pretty funny. At the 4 day, when that, I was standing with one of the boys that, you know, we'd pretty much walked every track with the whippersnapper that we'd done. And when that final motorbike crossed the finish line at the final moto, it's just like every ounce of energy that I had just drained out of my body after that. It's like, done. That's it. Like, you know,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you sort of that's, yeah, it's just a different feeling. But, no, it was pretty cool watching the final moto this year. And, you know, we had our little renter crowd up on one of the corners cheering everyone on. And, yeah, it was, pretty cool. Young Will Price, he's riding a Kawasaki, the KXF 250, I think. And, you know, he was swinging off that thing all week. And then to watch him win the E1 final moto, and his dad was there, you know, he was really emotional, Gary, and it was just, yeah, it was a super good week. And Monty going third in the final moto.
Nice.
Putting on a bit of a show through the few of the corners for the renter crowd. And, the E3 class, you know, Riley and Sammy went 1-2.
Yep.
In the final moto, and they absolutely killed it. And then, the final was E2.
Yeah.
E2. And then, you know, we had, Jonty and Greeny battling it out. You know, Greeny had a 9.9 second lead and, going into the final moto, and Johnny had, you know, the work in front of him, and he got it done. Derek was just standing up around the corner from us. And, when they come around the final corner, I'd stopwatched the final corner, how far they were apart, and Derek come running down, and I showed him the time, and he was like, yeah, I won't tell you what he said, but.
No, I can imagine.
A very, very happy boy when he was running down there. So
I've got to ask you, did Derek shed a tear?
Not at that stage, but I'm pretty sure he did.
I reckon he would have, mate.
Yeah, they were actually pitted. They were pitted across the bitumen from where we were. And yeah, I had a couple of conversations with Derek for the week, and, Fraser Higlett and that were pitted across from us as well. And so it was, yeah, it was good. It was a really, really good week. And, I'm sort of, hopefully there's one next year, mate. There's no room. There's normally do an announcement at the presentation on where it's going to be next year, and there wasn't. So.
Right.
Maybe looking at a gap year, but it'd be good for another state or club to. It's a massive undertaking, and
it's huge, mate. I can only imagine the effort that it goes into these events. It must be enormous.
Yeah, it is. It's probably preparing the tracks, and that's the easy bit. It's, you know, yourself getting through all the red tape and councils and DELP, and you know, it's just never ending. So.
They don't make it easy, do they?
No, it's getting harder and harder, mate, but unless we keep doing it, you know, it's going to get even harder, so.
No, mate, we'll all keep chipping away at racing events. I'm not going anywhere. I'm sure you guys aren't going anywhere as well.
No, Danny, we've got a few little plans for next year, so.
Awesome.
Got a few blokes back from long service leave after our last 4 days, so they're actually back looking to do another event again. So they've had 12 months off. So they're looking.
Well, watch your space for next year. Mon, with the 4 day you've just completed, can you just run us quickly through what the days actually involve and what the track conditions were like?
Yeah. So the first day, nerves big time were there because you don't really know how fast everyone's going, what the conditions are like. Like last year was so lucky. Erica's, you know, our backyard, so we knew most of the tracks, most of the trails. This one, we'll practically go into it blind. Never been over to WA before, let alone, you know, ridden there sort of thing. So, yeah, we got up. We did 15 Ks at night time and in the morning of bitumen each day, which we were sort of stressing about because chew up the tyres a bit and heat up the mooses. But, got the first two special tests of the day. They were grass tests and a bit dewy, but that was all right, fresh tyres, so that was fine. And then we got out into some pebbly tests. It was like a pea gravel sort of thing, so it was fairly skatey. Wasn't a huge fan of that stuff. I've never really ridden much of that around here, so it was a bit of an eye-opener. We did walk them, so we had somewhat of an idea, but... Yeah, still walking's not the same as riding it on two wheels and holding it out. One of the trail times were a bit tight. and didn't really realise that. Sadly lost a minute that day. But that, yeah, sort of put me down a bit, but I was like, oh, there's nothing I could do about it. So, you know, head went up and kept on charging. Then, you know, we went into that final work period that night, so the 15-minute work period, changed the tyre, re-tyre. Didn't quite go to plan, was struggling quite a lot. The mooses had swelled up that much that the levers didn't want to go into them because of how hot they got. So that was a bit stressful, but we got the tyre on there and got to the my final minute fine, didn't lose any time. Then woke up for day two, was a bit sore, but wasn't too bad. And day two was all sand. That was hard on the body. That was relentless. Like, we were going through pine trees and all that, and it was just whoop after whoop, deep sand. The sun, it wasn't necessarily really warm, but the sun was out the whole time. It was about 23 degrees, 24 degrees each day. So once that sun was on you, it did get quite hot. The special tests were fun, but riding it all day wasn't my favourite, that's for sure. Then day three, we had two grass tests and another pea gravel sort of test. That was my favourite day. We did those grass tests, I think, three times each?
Twice and three.
Yeah. And so I love a grass test. You can just sort of hold it in and out of the corners. And that was probably one of my personal best days with my results as well. Or in a few of them, at the end of the day, there was I was 6 seconds off second place and fourth was 9 seconds off me. And we didn't really know that either, because we could get the results for two of the special tests, but not for one of them. And I thought I did pretty bad in the one that we couldn't get the results for. So I'm like, nah, I wouldn't have got third for that day. But yeah, no, sure enough, came out with that. It's
pretty tight racing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And that was awesome. Emily Carlson she goes, I was hanging on, and she was like, I think Mon's got me in this one. And then, also had Ebony Nelson as well behind me that day. We're going backwards and forwards. So it was really good. Went into that final work period that Friday night. Did a re-tire again. A lot smoother than the first night, that's for sure. I even had extra time to do other stuff. So that was, a lot better, a lot calmer in that one as well, which I think helped a lot. And then Saturday woke up for the final moto, and fairly sore that day. I was just happy to get to the final moto with my bike running. So we did a trail section. I think it was about 25 k's, and then we had another work period before we went to the final moto. I didn't do anything to my bike. I think I just chucked a little bit more fuel in there. And then we got to the final moto, and that's when I figured out it was a full gate drop, and I've never done a motocross start before in my life. So I was, fairly stressing at that point. We watched the DNFers go around, the over 60s class, and then the over 45s class. And then we were up, and the nerves were starting to get to me. That's for sure. The final motor track was a wicked grass track, but it was fairly bull dusty at the same time.
Right.
And not far from the final corner, we had the best pit crew, pit supporters. All the Victorians were on that final corner, which was wicked. And every lap you'd go around and you'd hear them cheering over your bike. So that was such a cool experience to have that as well. And Jen Blackstock got a wicked photo of me going around the corner with all the Vic crew in the background cheering me on, which was, so cool to see that, because I could hear it, but I couldn't really see him that much. Finished the final moto, and that's when I finished my first 4-day. So I was, pretty happy with that, and gave all the girls a hug and then went and celebrated with everyone.
It sounds pretty exciting. You almost had me in the moment there, just picturing all what was going on with the gate drop. How many people were on the gate at the same time?
I think in the women's class there wasn't many of us. I think there was, I want to say,
a dozen
or something like that, or maybe 10 roughly. I got fourth pick because I was fourth overall for the 3 days. Jess Gardner got first pick, and then went Emily Carlson and Ebony Nelson and myself, and I picked in between Jess and Emily. Don't know whether that was a smart idea or not. I'm on the left of Jess. What could go wrong here? But, yeah, nah. Sort of, yeah, backed off a bit because I was like, oh, no, this is too scary for me going into that first. So, yeah.
So if you had to train for anything, if you think you could improve anything in your riding, what do you think you need to train for?
The tight stuff. I definitely need to train in more tight, technical, sort of tricky situations, and maybe gate drops as well, and not backing off into that corner.
You almost need to get on a motocross track and get some gate drops happening there, eh?
Maybe.
Sponsors. Who sponsors you? Who supports you at the moment that helps you get to all these events?
This year I was lucky enough to get a fair few. So we've got the main one, which is Simford Racing. They've helped me out so much this year. Got Prestige, Iveco, Hargo Engineering, Turnbull's Hire, LP Cranes, Track Right Suspension. Daz does an amazing setup. Like, my bike was so planted over in WA. It was wicked. Like, didn't bounce, didn't jump. I was so happy with that. Fly, Shelly Helmets, City Boots, Woolmax Graphics, and obviously everyone else that helps out the Simford crew, and Brad and Paul from Simford themselves. They practically organised a lot of this for me this year, and of course Alex as well. I wouldn't have been able to get over there without all those people.
Well, sounds like a great team you've all got going there, helping you out. So congratulations on your efforts in the 4 day and your previous podiums and results, and wish you all the best for the future. Yeah, we're keen to keep an eye on you and see how everything travels.
Thank you, and thanks for the chat. It's been great.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.